But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Romans 13, verse 4.
Hello and welcome to the Mark and Pete Show. This week we ask the question, should criminals literally feel terror? Well, the new Home Secretary, Priti Patel, has said she wants criminals to literally feel terror, as the thought is that criminals will certainly balk at the idea of breaking the law. Now, as she has come out in the media and explained to people that really she wants to have more officers on the streets, so that this would make criminals simply fearful. But many people have commented that this kind of rhetoric is actually insightful and actually will probably fuel more crime than actually prevent it. But people may say, actually, on the counter to that, in particularly Boris Johnson and his cabinet ministers are saying, well, no, we need to take firm hand when it comes to crime. Well, it's all about different strokes. Some people will say, anger fuels the flame of hate, ending with a fearful fate. But kindness soothes the sore of neglect, which regains faith and self-respect. Clergyman Pete, I ask you this question. Yeah. Do you think that the tough Tory rhetoric is the right stance on crime, or perhaps insightful commentary?
Well, Businessman Mark, although I agree with the concept of punishment and punishment as a deterrent as being part of your strategy for reducing crime, I don't think that overblown rhetoric helps. I don't think, in other words, that the comments from Priti Patel, the Home Secretary, in her comments about punishment for criminals making them feel terror, I don't think that helps. I think it is the certainty of a punishment that that has an effect, rather than the severity of it.
Well, yes, indeed. And I want to sort of point out a few facts here, because what Priti Patel has pointed out is that there will be 21,732 police officers who were lost in the 2010 election. And this is when the Conservatives came to power. Now, that is a lot of police officers. Now, strangely, she continued to say that I've always felt the Conservative Party is the party of police and police officers. Well, many people in the Labour Party and other parties available in the community will say, actually, no, this doesn't actually wash, because it seems as though the country has actually now been devoid of the right, you know, criminal enforcers. It's going to take a long time, isn't it, to actually put all of those officers back on the streets in the appropriate places, trained and fully operational. So whilst I think you're right here, do you believe then from a moral point of view that actually the Conservative Party are the right party of power to be able to ensure that there is less crime on the streets, bearing in mind their track record?
Well, my opinion is, yes, I see the issue here, but I think that if we look at the alternative policies put forward by the Labour Party, which is taking a sort of social health view of tackling crime, is also unhelpful. That it's if you like going too far the other way. It's taking the idea of punishment out of the whole system, which certainly doesn't help, and it doesn't instill confidence in the mind of the public to think that all you're trying to do is basically cure people and remove supposed causes of their criminality. You see, what that does, even though there's some validity in it, you know, people who go to prison need to be fit when they come out to be part of society. There are things that, you know, could cause you to commit a crime, like if you're very poor, maybe you need to take something. But in fact, there isn't a linear cause and effect. You know, if you're poor doesn't mean you're a criminal. It's something else that's doing it. And so people need to take responsibility for their own actions, including criminals. And it takes that out by having a straight public health view of it. And so I think somewhere between the two extremes lies sanity?
Well, I'm going to come back to the point of commentary and rhetoric, because I think whilst we've touched upon this subject before about what words matter, whilst certainly without any doubt, Priti Patel's comments have certainly caught the sound bites and caught the media, Liberal Democrat and Home Affairs spokesperson Ed Davey said that Ms. Patel's comments showed that she was out of touch with what was leading some people into crime. And he continued to say that some young people often say that they carry knives because they are afraid of other young people and the gangs that they're up against. And he continued then to say that we need more police so that these people can feel less afraid, and they now trust the police to be there, not because the police are there to add to their fears. I think that's a valid point, isn't it? So her comment here, and I think it's about the choice of words. The idea that criminals literally fear terror. Well, criminals are already fearing terror because, as Ed Davey points out, that they're fearing the other gangs. Is it more a case of what she should have said is that we want to tackle the crime and we want to put in fair and appropriate punishment in place, but actually it's really about understanding the real issues and reassuring those gangs that if they need help, what they can do to prevent the crime from happening. So is it really that, whilst I know that she's new to the role, perhaps she started off on the bad foot with this type of comments? I personally feel that really this is not what I would be expecting from a Home Secretary. I'd expect a Home Secretary to understand the issues and the sensitivities around this subject. And I do agree with Ed Davey on this particular point. I don't agree with all of his politics, certainly being somebody from the Liberal Party. But nevertheless, I still do believe that he's right in that it's about understanding where the crime is occurring. And at the moment, we're seeing in London specifically, although it does occur in other parts of the United Kingdom and in parts of the world as well, as we've seen. But the key is gang warfare that seems to be on the rise. And certainly over the last 5 years, statistics show that it's not slowing down.
Yes, well, these sort of intransigent problems, I think, in order for there to be a change, we need to do something, okay? So making grandiose claims about the effects of your policies, like the criminals will literally feel terror, isn't doing something, it's just saying something. I think you need to make a big change. Now, as you know, as I said before, regular listeners will know, I have a view of the entire system, the penal system in the UK, that I think should be changed. Now, I know that it's different, run differently in Scotland, that sort of thing, but it's the same sort of idea. What we have is this idea that you're given a punishment and that's meant to scare you. But when you actually go into prison, the amount of time you spent in prison changes depending on how well you're behaved. Now, the problem with that is a question of logic. People don't trust it because, look, say, let me give you two ways of doing it. What you could do is, as currently, you commit a murder, you get 20 years in prison. You call it life, which is a misnomer, so stop doing that. If it's going to be 20 years, say it's 20 years.
Yes, agreed.
But if you can have time off for good behaviour, in that case, say you can lose half the time for good behaviour, in that case, it should be standard. If it's 20 years for murder, it's actually 40 years and it can be reduced to the 20 year, but no lower than the amount set by the judge or whoever's doing the sentencing. Do you see what I mean? The failure is one of logic and understanding. You know, they've got to at least do the amount that they were given. But you could say, well, we automatically double it so that they can get time off for good behaviour. Fine. But I would take it further than that. I think a lot of punishment doesn't require prison. I would go further than that. I think we need prisons. We need jail. Now, traditionally, of course, jail was where you were put while you were being sentenced, and then prison is the punishment. So you put people in jail awaiting punishment. Yes, we need them for that. So we haven't got rid of, if you count a prison as a jail as the same, we haven't got rid of them completely. But apart from that, we don't use them. No, come up with different forms, be more inventive, be more creative.
This is really important because this is my take on this. Because I believe that the government is going to go this route, and I'm hoping that they do. What they're saying is that there is this campaign to put or hire 20,000 more police officers back into the system, and this is what Downing Street is committed to. But I think one of the things where to get to the root cause, prison is one thing, and I do agree that it needs to be better clarity in terms of the penal system, but it's about the prevention which matters. And I believe that what the Home Affairs Committee has said is that schools in areas of higher risk, where there is youth violence, they will have dedicated police officers working in the community along with more community officers. Now, I think that's a much better idea to understand, and again, it plays to the market beat mantra, which is localism. Yes, the fact is that if you have localism and long-termism and that commitment to a policy where you understand people, you understand. I remember when I was at school, actually, we had many police officers and constabulary officers come in and actually, you know, talk to children about various issues that were going on in the community. You then had a respect for the police officers. You knew who they were as individuals, and it actually reduces the crime. I mean, I remember it myself, that you had more respect for people who understand the issues and people who really understand you as an individual. Now, I think that one of the things there is that is a really good policy. Question is, are they equipped with all the right tools and techniques? And what I mean by that is that the people alone is not enough. I think what they can do is they need, and this is the thing that I think that the police officers themselves have talked about, is there a better way in which that they can share intelligence and information about criminals, centralizing information as well as actually having local information and having the right tools and techniques. And this is where I think that the investment should also be, is it's not just about people, although that is very, very important, a high priority. But I think it's about equipping them. And I think that that's something that particularly with street crime, cyber crime, and any crime that spills back out onto the streets, whether it's about drugs and so on, if there's any way in which, you know, cyber criminals or criminals who are trading illegally that affects communities, a lot of people have talked about these gang warfares, and part of the reason is drugs. And if you can find all techniques to try and cut off the sources of where the crime is happening using a combination of tools and techniques, that will empower those officers and police to actually make a difference in the communities. So I think that's good. But the only thing is, what I will say is, you can't put it in place overnight. It's going to take years.
Yes.
And that's what I would say here is, as a plea to government, whoever is in government in the next 3, 4, 5 years, commit to that strategy and do not waver. Because what we've seen, as we said at the beginning, which is that the Conservatives in 2010 and going through to 2015, cut the police force back significantly and the resources that they had. And I think if we can see that there's a better long-term commitment to cutting crime, I think perhaps we will make a difference. What do you think?
Yes. I'm going to say one other thing, which is an important point. It was part of what you said there, which is really to make the point about what we mean by localism. Now, in the policing, you pointed out that we, in the UK, have lots of local police forces.
Yeah,
there's not one police force, and that means that sharing information is sometimes difficult, problematic.
Exactly,
doesn't always get shared. Now, what we have then is something that is not localism. This isn't the Mark and Pete idea to have several different police forces. No, localism is the Bobby on the beat. You want one police force across the country, really, and then have lots of small police stations, if you like. When I was a lad, when we were lads growing up in our little hometown just down the road from us, just down the road from me anyway, was a police station in which there was a police sergeant was sit at the desk, and if you had a problem, you could pop in and see him. That was dispensed with because, well, they wanted people
and
to go around
in cars. And it was good because it was an open door.
You could just walk in.
And people could, and you were well received.
Yes, yes, you were treated politely. You respected him. He dealt with you politely. So we need to return to that. But the only way to return to that is to stop duplicating the top level administration, which just it duplicates its costs at a huge level. Yeah, you just don't need that. You need one central sort of administration. Which handles information, as you were talking about. You want a certain amount of autonomy given to the bobby on the beat, such that they are able to do their job. And you want administrators, instead, going a stage further, abroad, you may not be aware of how British policing has changed, but they're supported by community support officers, who are a form of policemen but don't have the police powers of arrest, etc. And this is because your actual police have so much paperwork to do. Now, this has to be one of the stupidest decisions you could ever think of. If you've got the policeman who is the expert, why are they doing paperwork? Why do you get someone who isn't the expert to do the work that they're good at? Why don't you employ people to do the paperwork?
Yep.
So they just tell someone, they write it down, they do secretarial work. Absolute madness. And yes, really, that is how the police forces in Britain operate. I know people in other parts of the world will just think it's mad, but that is how it is. So change that. Yes. Turn it round. Have policemen, community police officers, reduce their numbers by a lot and replace them with administrators. Get the police back on the beat. Get them out there. And by on the beat, I don't mean, again, for our foreign listeners, I don't mean going around beating people up. What I mean by the beat, I mean the route that they walk around.
I think we got the message.
Yes.
Well,
wanted to make that clear.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, it seems though the long arm of the law has got its shortcomings. Well, goodness me. Now, listeners, what do you think? Let us know your thoughts. Why not log on to markandpete.com and we would love to hear from you on this subject. Well, I know that the commitment is there. And according to Priti Patel, her focus is restating the commitment to law and order and restating the commitment to the people on the front line. Nobody has an issue with that. It's a question of how you do it. Well, let's see what happens and let's hope that particular policy is long-term and effective. Join us next time for more colourful conversations with Clergyman Pete and Businessman Mark.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.